Good afternoon. Welcome to the Minnesota House Ag Policy Committee. We have a number of blue jackets in the audience, and we're very pleased and proud to have those blue jackets in the audience, FFA members from all over the state. And we are going to just have at least one of the state FFA officers come forward just to do a greeting to us from the FFA members, maybe do a brief introduction. Later, we will have two FFA members who will give presentations. But Nathan, if you just want to come to the table, please.
Sure.
And I'll ask you just to state your name and spell your last name for the record, please.
Nathan Daninger, D-A-N-I-N-G-E-R.
Thank you very much. And you're an FFA member from which district, which area?
Madam Chair, I'm originally from Forest Lake, and I have the privilege of helping represent the full state association that has about 9,500 members across the state in agriculture, food, and natural resource systems programs. FFA is a youth leadership organization that uses agricultural education to develop premier leadership and personal growth and career success in its members. We're glad we can be here today and advocate for things that are important to us, among them agriculture, agricultural education, and of course FFA. With that, I guess I'll just ask you, with your permission, if there's questions or...
Does anyone have any questions? Thank you very much for the introduction. I will ask that the state FFA officers would stand before they sit, if they would stand, so that we can recognize them and just welcome them to the... Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yes. Well, we are going to hear from a couple of FFA members, and so now they're a little bit... this isn't typical that they're going to have an audience of fellow FFA members, but so Haley is coming to the microphone first. Haley, if you would please just state your name for the record and state where you're from, and then you have a presentation that you're going to give.
My name is Haley Hinrichs, and it's H-I-N-R-I-C-H-S, and I am from Goodhue, Minnesota. So,
very good.
I am raised on a dairy farm, and we milk about 75 to 80 cows, and during the summertime, I also show beef cattle. My career development event in FFA is actually extemporaneous speaking, and I know that a few weeks ago you had Brandon Roiger, and he actually is a prepared public speaker, and Madison Schaefer, she is also a prepared public speaker. So extemporaneous speaking is a little bit different, and I think this is quite a change for me being able to kind of prepare a speech, but I'll give it a go. Today I would like to talk to you guys about agriculture education. To me, there are many definitions of agriculture education that cover a very wide variety of people, and I think one of the most common definitions is that agriculture education is teaching students like myself and others about agriculture. That is 100% true, definitely true. But I also want to say that agriculture is kind of also educating people and the public in general, not just students. Agriculture is a huge part of my family. My dad was raised on a dairy farm, my mother on a beef farm, which is kind of why I have that mix there. And my uncle even went on to become an ag teacher. So when I was doing an interview for my ag policy boot camp, which we had this past January, I interviewed my uncle about his job, and I asked him what one of the biggest challenges of being an ag teacher is. And he told me that one of the biggest challenge is cuts and having budget cuts. And I know a lot of you guys are like, I know, we have to make cuts, and I do. I understand that. There's not enough money in this world to please everyone. I want you to be aware, though, that once you start making cuts, your class sizes, they get a lot bigger. And when you have a bigger class, it is a lot harder for the teacher to educate you as well, and it's very hard on the teacher, and it's hard on the students because they're not getting the education that they need or that they want. So that is one of the biggest challenges with being an education teacher. Another big challenge of education is our teachers are very overloaded, I want to say. Like, I'm not trying to say that they're complaining or anything, but they do have a lot on their hands. Compared to a math teacher, maybe has three duplicate classes. They have 3 hours a day where they all teach algebra. My ag teacher, he has 7 hours a day, and they're all different classes. And it takes a lot of time to prepare for that. So one thing is when you make cuts, you're also cutting the amount of teachers you can have. And I read in the newspaper today that on average, there are 25 to 30 openings across Minnesota each year for an agriculture education job. So we need these teachers. We need them. And they are a big, big part of agriculture today, because agriculture is pretty much like the foundation. Education is the foundation for all of agriculture. If you don't learn about agriculture, how are we going to succeed? How are we going to make sure that we can feed everyone? So those are just some problems with ag education and some things that we could hopefully try and fix. My ag education teachers, they are super busy, and they have a lot of work that they need to get done, and a lot of them are FFA advisors, so they have twice as much work to do. And I'm not saying that the other teachers don't have that much work to do, because they do, but it's just that our teachers, they are a big part, and they can definitely influence agriculture a ton, and they've definitely influenced me too. Another thing is standards. I went onto our school website to look up some of our agriculture standards, and in our high school, it is not required to take an ag education class. It's not required at all. For the power standards, I believe, mainly deal with math, reading, English, and science, and making sure that you get as much of that as possible as you can. With these standards, the more standards you put on us, the less time you have to go and take that ag class that you want to take. And that is, I think that's a problem, because I would like to have a chance to explore different areas. I'd love to have a chance to explore that. But with all the standards that we are having, there's not enough time to go and do this. There's not enough time for me to take that ag class when I need to be taking chemistry right now. And I do understand, I'm not saying that we need less math or reading, because we do. We definitely need that. But I'm just saying, the more standards you put on us, the less we have to explore agriculture. And I know that I want to explore agriculture, and I do. I love agriculture. It's my life right now. In our school, it's not required. We have a 7th grade ag class, which is one semester, and when I took it, it was every other day. That's not very much agriculture, but I thought that class was a blast. We made these awesome bouquets, we did a little bit of welding, and it was a great chance to just kind of explore it. And the thing with that is, if you had just a very standardized ag class, like an intro to ag or like an ag 101 class, every kid will find something that they will love in agriculture. There's always a place for someone in agriculture. So one proposal that I would have is to make an ag education, is to make an ag class required. Have like a half a credit of ag or a full credit of agriculture, and make that a standard, or make that required. Because everyone is affected by agriculture. Whether you eat every day, so you are affected, agriculture affects you. You eat every single day. And why shouldn't you be able to know about agriculture and how it's produced and being able to know all that you can? I go to the state fair every year, and I still get questions saying, does chocolate milk come from brown cows? Where does bacon come from? They always ask that, and that scares me. That scares me about the future of agriculture, just because simple stuff like that, people don't know about. So right there, you can learn something new, and agriculture affects you. I wouldn't be here without my ag education classes. I wouldn't. Mr. T, my advisor, he's made a difference in my life. I love agriculture. And without ag education, we wouldn't have FFA to help promote it, and we probably wouldn't be eating without ag education. So that's about all I have today. Are there any questions?
Anybody have any questions? Representative Faust?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Would you briefly describe what the Ag Policy Boot Camp is, please?
The Ag Policy Boot Camp is about, I believe there was 30 or 31 FFA members who came up to the Capitol. And we were able to meet with legislators and get a feel of what they do every day and their role. And we were also able to sit in on a couple committees. We had mentors. And it was a great chance to get a feel of how we can make a difference by using our legislators, by talking with them, and still being able to advocate agriculture and to be able to share our voice.
Representative Hamilton.
Excuse me. Thank you, Madam Chair. And Haley, you are awesome. You did a great job. And, you know, you're at the beginning kind of comparing yourself to that Brandon kid. And we had to call security when he was here. That kid's a punk. I'm just teasing. He's wonderful. He's a wonderful guy as well. You know, you bring up a very interesting fact when you're talking about the number of openings for ag instructors. And we had this debate here a little bit. And we should think about having her talk to the University of Minnesota about expanding that program. You did a wonderful, wonderful job. My question is, in the future, what do you see yourself doing? What career path are you wanting to take? Where do you see yourself going as you continue to grow and prosper?
Ms. Hendricks?
In all honesty, I don't know what I want to do one day. I know that my career path is pointing me towards agriculture, but at this point, I don't know what exactly in agriculture. By taking these FFA opportunities and taking different classes, it's given me a great chance to find different areas that I might be interested in, but as of right now, I am not actually for sure what I want to do.
Right. Representative Hamilton.
And you know what? That's okay. I mean, I'm almost 45, and I still don't know what I want to do. All right, so that's okay. And you also brought up a great point about as far as what the schools are mandating and stuff like that. We, the legislature, work together to recognize agriculture to count towards a science credit. And, you know, so we need to do more things like that because it's not just about, I mean, you learn so much more. You learn about how to balance a checkbook. You learn, you know, farm management and everything else. So it encompasses a wide array of things. So you did an awesome, awesome job.
Thank you.
All right, Representative Kreisha.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I echo that. Fantastic job. And you're so bright, I'm going to ask you a tougher question.
Okay.
I came out of a committee this morning, and we're debating whether or not schools should be allowed to start early or not. And you mentioned the state fair. What do you think about giving schools the ability to start earlier, and how would that impact your efforts and what happens down at the state fair?
Ms. Hendricks.
Do you mean earlier as in earlier in August or, like, earlier in an actual day?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, right now the bill is actually to allow schools to start before Labor Day.
Okay. I think to an extent you could start school earlier. I'm from Goodyear, and if you want to find a smaller town, you can try. But Goodyear is an awesome town. We have so many farmers, and we have a lot of kids who do, like, through FFA and 4-H, they go to the state fair every year. So if you did start school earlier, our school would probably only have half the kids. If you did start school earlier, you would have you would run into issues with, like, the state fair. Personally, I think extending it maybe more into June would be better than starting it earlier. I'd rather extend it.
Representative Kreisha.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That is about the most articulate answer I've heard all day. And if you'd like to advise me for the rest of the session, I'm very open to that.
Representative Dill.
Well, that was a good answer. I really like that answer, as a matter of fact. And so I think the rest of the time that you're here, just say don't do it.
Okay.
Because we don't need to. I mean, that's a great answer, but there's all kinds of implications for rural parts of our state particularly. And, you know, I was listening to you, Chair Poppy. I always thought that these iPhones came from minerals that were mined in the ground. But it's got an apple on the back, so it has to do something with agriculture. So thank you, agriculture.
Any other questions, Ms. Hendricks? That was an awesome job. That was excellent. Thank you very much. And it's very exciting to have the room full of blue jackets. So thank you all for being here today. Before I go on to the next presenter, which will be Ms. Schaefer, I just wanted to ask if the state officers would, if you wanted to come forward and just introduce yourselves, that would be something I think we could accommodate at this time and be happy to do. So if you would do that, please, and introduce yourselves and where your original chapter was, now that you're state officers. You could do that, so state your name and... state your names and where you originally came from.
All right, good afternoon. I'm Shauna Conrad. I'm serving this year as the state president. And like Haley, I come from Goodhue, Minnesota.
Very good, thank you.
I'm Marjorie Schlepper from Upsala, Minnesota, serving as state vice president.
Good.
And I'm Sabrina Kieser, and I'm from Howard Lake, Minnesota, and I'm serving as the state secretary this year.
Okay. Hey, everybody. I'm Jared Lumen, also from the Goodhue FFA chapter, and I'm serving this year as state reporter.
Good afternoon. I'm Mick Score. I come from the Albert Lee FFA chapter, and I get to serve this year as state sentinel.
Very good. Excellent. So for those of you oh, yes, I'm sorry.
Sorry. You already know where I'm from, but I'm serving as state treasurer, and I'm Nathan Danich.
Very good. Thank you so much for the state president and officers to be here, but also it's an inspirational for all of you who are looking to, you know, what's your next step in the FFA organization? Perhaps it's to be a state officer. So thank you again for coming.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And now, if Madison is ready, we're going to have another presentation. And Madison, if you would state your name for the record, and then you can begin.
Hi, everyone. My name is Madison Schaefer. I'm also from the Goodhue FFA chapter, if you haven't heard that enough. And Schaefer, S-C-H-A-F-E-R. So, like I was saying, I'm from the Goodhue FFA chapter, and I come from a town. We have about 1,100 people. That's not really very big, but it's one big family. Big family. And we all work together. We're all really egg-based, and through that, I've been able to grow up in an agriculture community where I haven't had troubles with being able to understand where my food comes from, where my clothes come from, and how I'm surviving. I understand that because I grew up from it. I grew up on a hog farm. We have a farrow to wean unit of sows, and today that's actually what my speech is going to be about. Haley, like she said, she's in the extemporaneous public speaking, but I am in the prepared public speaking. So in this, I wrote my speech about gestation stalls. There's been some controversy about it, definitely, but this is something that I've been passionate about because without gestation stalls, I would not be where I am today, and my family farm would not be living and thriving the way it is. So I guess from here, I'll explain to you what my speech is. And afterward, we can take any questions. But here it goes, I guess.
Okay, good.
Fact. The world's population is growing at an incredible rate. In 2012 and 2013, we have a population of over 7 billion people in the world. Think about that for a minute. 7 billion people. By 2020, 7.6 billion people. And by 2050, there will be an estimated 9.3 billion people in the world. In 2012, 33% of our world was considered to be going hungry or starving. Think about that for a minute. One in every three people in our world does not get enough to eat and has to worry every day about where their next meal is going to come from. The Humane Society of the United States, or HSUS, has been pushing for years to try and shut down so-called factory farms, where production agriculture takes place at a rapid rate. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, or PETA, has been doing the same thing. Recently, they've been targeting the use of gestation stalls across America in hog farms, claiming that they are inhumane to use. The use of gestation stalls began in the 1960s to help solve the problem of vulnerable sows during the gestation period. Since then, they've become widely accepted for hog farmers, and they've become widely used in hog barns across America. Even before that, though, they were often raised indoors for many reasons. So a lot of animals just get raised outside and it works just fine. But pigs are a little bit different. They can't sweat. So on a hot day, they'd roll in the mud, not because they like to get dirty. They're actually really clean animals. But that was a way to stay cool. Also, pigs would get fed the unhealthy kitchen scraps and undercooked foods. And those things could have foodborne disease called trichinosis. And if that got to the pigs, it could get to the meat. So to fix that problem, the USDA suggested temperature to cook pork at was 160 degrees. Since then, hog farmers have started raising their hogs indoors, and we don't need to worry about that with a healthier feed that they're being fed. So because of that, we were able to raise our pork, or cook our pork at 145 degrees Fahrenheit to have overall a more enjoyable eating experience with a juicy, more tender cut of meat. So back to gestation stalls. There are many reasons why hog farmers have found them to be the most practical, humane, and economic form of housing for pregnant sows to live in. So one main reason hog farmers keep their sows in gestation stalls is for the ability to ration the feed amounts for each individual sow. Pigs, again like people, have different metabolisms and different amounts of feed to stay healthy. So they get fed three times a day. And one good way to tell if any kind of pig is sick is to see if they've been eating or not. When pigs are in group housing, it's extremely difficult to see how much they've been eating just by seeing the food, because you see how much is left with the group. So instead you wait until you start seeing their bones showing through or they just look sick. Versus when they're in an individual stall, you can tell right away during that feeding if they aren't feeling well, if they have feed left in their trough. And from there, we use any vaccines or anything that's needed at the proper time, at the proper place, and we'll use the proper amount of it so that way we can get them back healthy again for us to produce our pigs. So when a pig is born, it weighs about 4 pounds, fits into your two hands really easily, and they're just the cutest things ever. And all this makes for believing that all pigs are just tiny little creatures that are meant to be pets, stay small forever. But this is not the case. I know this on a personal level. When I was 4 years old, going through a hog barns and seeing these 500, 600 pound animals, it was pretty scary. They're not friendly creatures, and you can't fit them in your two hands anymore. So, especially during the gestation period, they're crabby animals, and they like to be really, what's the word I'm looking for? They're really territorial. They like to have their own space, and they'll find a ranking, just like in any other animal setting. So the stronger, bigger ones, of course, will get more feed, they'll get more space, all those things. And then those smaller, weaker ones will never get a chance to get ahead and able to get the proper nutrition they need to have healthy sows and healthy pigs to produce for us that ultimately will have our bacon. So when pigs are in an individual stall, it allows us to go and monitor, make sure that they're staying healthy, that they get to go and lay on their own without worrying about needing to fight for their ranking. On the other hand, pigs are also really curious creatures. And some people don't like how they're right next to one another, but that allows for that social contact between the two pigs without having that contact directly, so that way they don't harm each other. So I've kind of explained a little bit how gestation stalls help the pig. But it also has its perks for the person producing that product, as well as for the consumer. Some pigs don't like the interaction between people. So when they are in a pen setting, then they have to get in there every day to make sure that every sow, every pig is healthy. But when they're in an individual stall, the farmer can move around about the pig without actually having to get in the pen with her. That makes her feel more comfortable and more relaxed, and gets her less worked up so she can just worry about having those healthy piglets for us. And for the consumer, when we don't need to take all those extra measures, when we don't need to waste feed because they're getting the proper feed they need, then it's lowered costs to produce them, which means lowered costs to buy that meat that you would like. So overall, gestation stalls help the sow, they help the farmer, and through that, they help the consumer with lowered costs. There have been studies done at universities and farms to see what the sow would rather choose if she was given the choice. And in these studies, 80 to 85% of the sows spend all of their time in the stall. and then the rest of them spend the majority of the time along with going out in the pen just for a little while. So you're probably wondering what all this gestation stalls has to do with world hunger. Well, people are saying that we don't have enough resources to produce enough food to feed our growing world. But in fact, we do have enough resources. We have new innovations and technologies that are available to us so we can produce the right amount of food that we need. But we need the cooperation from the consumer in order to let us use those technologies. Gestation stalls, for the average hog farmer, is the best way to go. It's the most practical, economic, and humane way. Now, I'm not saying that works for every farm. There are plenty of farms that use pen settings, and that works just as well. But again, for my farm and many farms across America, gestation stalls work the best. Remember, hog farmers are people too. They care about their animals, and they eat too, so they want to have the healthy product to eat, and that goes into them. So they're the ones with experience, the dedication, and the passion for agriculture. So don't be afraid to trust a farmer with where your next meal comes from. Because in fact, they are the real agriculture professionals. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions? That was just fantastic. Thank you again for that presentation. And neither of you seem nervous at all. And that's tremendous.
You clearly are doing well.
And Representative Hamilton.
Well, I just echo that, Madam Chair. And first of all, tell your dad, hey, your dad's a wonderful, wonderful guy. So, you brought that up. And one of the things is I grew up in town. And a lot of you know I was just a punk kid, right, and getting into trouble. And my uncle moved me to Minnesota from Iowa and threw me on a farm. And that's how I got my start in agriculture. You know what? I've had a busted tooth, a busted finger, a complete tear of my meniscus, and I've been tusked by a boar. And it all happened in pen gestation or group housing. And so I like the fact that you talked about protection of the consumer, protection of the employee or the farmer, and protection of the animal. And it was a wonderful, wonderful presentation, and thank you for that. And I would echo again, you guys are phenomenal. You do a great job. And these are our guys. These are our students, you know. These are our Aggies. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Any other questions? All right. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a comment. Goodhue might not seem like a large town, but it ties for the fourth largest town in my district. So we'll put small towns into somewhat of a better perspective there. So welcome to the big city, actually.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you again for your presentation. Thank you all for attending today, and appreciate the wonderful meeting with all of you. I know that I had a few people from Morris, I believe, that came to meet with me earlier. They might be here in the audience right now. Yes. And, you know, the other thing is we all meet with people, adults generally, that we meet with in our offices. And I would say the FFA members I have met with over the years are some of the most articulate, most well-educated, and most passionate about what you understand about agriculture, and you're able to clearly define that and let us all know about that, and that is just tremendous. I just think you clearly are learning well. You clearly have strong advisors and good mentors, and we appreciate the opportunity today to have you here. So thank you so much. All right, now we're going to move on. Actually, why don't we move the minutes? Representative Faust?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the minutes of the February 20th, 2013 meeting.
Any additions or corrections to the minutes? All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Motion approved. We do have the minutes approved. And now we're going to go to Representative Fitzsimmons. He's going to be our presenter first, and then we have Representative Hamilton.
Yeah, maybe if I can get staff to help me.
Sure. Arlen can help you pass that around. Or
deliver the food, as promised, and you can trust this farmer to bring your next meal. I brought some food that's all from my local producer in Wright County, and that's one of the things I'll get into.
Thank you.
On my presentation. So my district is 30B. It's Northeast Wright County, and it's we got all the everybody's leaving.
Okay, Representative Fitzsimmons.
Yeah, 30B, it's Northeast Wright County, and it's after looking at the map of the statewide, I think I'm probably the most arguable suburban member on the committee, but I grew up on the farm, and I worked in agriculture my whole life, so I'm very familiar with everything that's said. Last speaker, Madison, was directly on with her statements, and from my family's perspective, I've seen the results in Great Britain and Europe from some of their laws that they put into place, and it's been very, very destructive on the agriculture industry. But my population is basically the same as everybody else's, just over 39,000. But a little different, I think, is the size of my city. It's the largest city in my district is St. Michael. It's 16,399 people. And down to the smallest is Hanover, 2,938. That's the little town in my district. A small portion of Dayton is in my district, but it's a much larger city than that. It's really relatively a new area when you think about it. There's no town in my district that was incorporated before 1890, and so really until the advent of rail travel, there were very few European settlers in the district. So it's new, and it's been growing ever since. I had to pull a lot of what I took from the entire county of Wright, so I send my regards from Representative Marion O'Neill and Representative Joe McDonald, who joined me from the Wright County delegation. But the population of our county is just over 120,000. But as you can see, as recently as 1990, we were under 70,000, and so we've added more than 50,000 people to our county just in the last 20 years. And as you can imagine, on the agriculture sector, that put a lot of strain. There were a lot of developments. There was a lot of interaction that got forced on people that don't maybe necessarily take place as often as in some of our further field counties, and it really put a lot of people to close proximity that weren't used to. A lot of the new residents came from Minneapolis, came from Plymouth, came from Maple Grove, and now they were living in farm country. But it's actually, for the most part, has worked out in all of our in all the cities in my district, in all five of the cities. There's active agriculture within each of those city limits. There's crop farming, hog farming, dairy, and cattle and poultry in every one of the cities. So I think that's a testament to working together, even within a municipal government, to have agriculture alive and well. The harvested acres in Wright County is over 200,000. So there's a lot of productive farmland that gets put to use. Average farm size is just under 200 acres, 173 acres. Average age of farmer, I thought was interesting, because as I've noted that on a couple of the other districts, it doesn't seem to be a lot of variation anywhere in the state. It seems to be right around 55 years as the average farm age. So I found that of note. And there's over nearly 2,000 jobs that are directly in the agriculture sector, even in Wright County. So even in a county that's somewhat suburban in nature or exurban, it's still a very large portion of our workforce are in agriculture-related industries. And And just in the value, the market value of agriculture products sold from Wright County is estimated over $200 million. So it's huge economic impact. Livestock and crops, dairy, we're the 11th, so we're no Stearns County, but we do our best to hold our own. Beef cattle, 26,000 head. In chickens, we're around 8th in the state, so we have significant 423,000 head of chicken, mostly for at the meat side, not as many layers. And actually, we have a fair size 27,000 head of pheasants, commercially raised pheasants. So there's a significant pheasant industry. Representative Preach should know a little bit about that in our county. 6,000 head of hogs, which I think my family accounts for about 80% of that.
Wow.
So, and then horses and ponies, I had a hard time coming up with the number, but apparently even without the numbers, they say it's the second largest in the state. So Washington County is second to Washington County, I believe, we are in horses and ponies. And that's even in addition to a lot of what's in Hennepin County for the horse industry is right along the border of my district in Corcoran, Hamel, Dayton area. So it's a fairly significant portion. There's a lot of stables. There's a lot of people that board horses out there. There's a lot of people that take lessons. So it's a fairly significant portion of the economy. Corn and soybeans. Representative Hamilton will probably knock some of these yields, but they're actually pretty good. We have a decade average of 75,000 acres of corn and 68,000 acres of soybean. For the most part, that bounces a little bit back and forth as they do the rotations of those, so they stay the same. But also in alfalfa, we're a big producer of alfalfa, both for our own horse industry and also utilizing our proximity to other horse markets, you know, for our alfalfa products. So we use that a lot. Other things, fruits and vegetable production is significant, and even nurseries, greenhouses, and sod is over $15 million in sales from our county. Again, I think it's one of the ways that Wright County's learned to take advantage of its proximity to the greater metro area while still utilizing its agriculture potential. A few of the other facts are J&B Group is located in St. Michael in my district. They're the makers of no-name steaks. And they're having a little trouble putting it exact, but I think they're actually the largest employer in my district. They're or very close, so they're one of the top two or three, definitely. 650 employees work there in St. Michael, and they ship across the country. So it's a very big business. Also note the Oliver Kelly Farm is just right on the other side of the river from my district in Otsego, but you can see it from there. And they're an interpretive center run by the overseen by the Minnesota Historical Society, and they get a lot of school groups and tour groups. And again, going to some of the things we've talked about of making sure there's that interaction point between people who haven't grown up with egg and in their background and being able to have that contact, I think is very important. I've started calling the term highway watershed, and we'll see if that takes. But you know, we show rivers, and when you show the watershed, you show where they collect from. And in my district, in the area around me, is really kind of a highway watershed. If you branch out, the areas that they serve between the metro area and greater Minnesota, you lead to St. Cloud, Little Falls, Wadena, Moorhead, Glenwood, Morris, Sauk Center, Alexandria, East Grand Forks. Any of those areas that interact with the Twin Cities market or beyond flow through my district or the areas near to it in I-94, in Highway 10 and Highway 55. And so there's a lot of overlay with transportation issues and making sure we can have that free flowing commercial corridors. And some of what you're eating is product of some of the Again, I think some of the adaptation of taking advantage of being close to large population centers, and it's Damer's Market in St. Michael, and they basically take a lot of direct from farm and put it into market and consumers and purchases. Another one, Lindenfelser's, is similar, and they've actually developed somewhat of a niche market that they've provided space, and they do certain times where some of the Islamic immigrants actually do the processing of the meat in traditional prescribed ways on their farm and on their processing facilities. And so it was actually noted in a news story, and it's something that they've again found a way to find a market that can keep their family company up and running. So that's my district. That's my area.
Excellent. Any questions, Representative Anderson?
Thanks, Madam Chair. Another great presentation. A couple questions. I'm impressed by your county averages for corn and soybean yields, and I hope I didn't miss it, but is there a lot of irrigation up there?
No, very little, but it's typically as you go, oftentimes you can see the break, for one, to the north of the Mississippi where you go from Wright to Sherburn, the soils are significantly different. We tend to have a good black soil in Wright County, whereas as soon as you're in the Sherburn, and then also going towards Stearns too, as you head towards, if you drive kind of north of Annandale and get closer to South Haven and Fairhaven, you'll start to see a drop off in the moisture holding ability. So,
Representative Anderson.
Just one more question. I didn't know about no-name steaks. Is that also a slaughter facility or just a packaging and distribution?
Okay. Just packaging and distribution, yep. But obviously a big consumer of of the cattle. Yep.
Representative Grisha?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I concur. Great presentation. I always look to your district, and I wonder how significant are the right to work or the right to farm issues. You guys are right on the edge of that. Do you see any of those conversations?
As far as just interference with abilities to farm or what specifically?
Representative Grisha.
In our district, and I've heard in Stearns, as people are moving in and moving around the farms, they're starting to understand the impact of the dust and the smells and those. And mm-hmm. just wondering, my agriculture community has asked if there's things that we can do so they can continue production in the long harvest hours and so forth without some of those interference.
I think one of the things that was, and we saw mergers in our area in the 90s of cities and townships, and a lot of it was just a lot of very open dialogue between both sides and figuring out what was essential and what was negotiable, and for the most part it's worked out well, and they came to the arrangements that made both sides able to live with. And so I would just say early and open communication is ideal, and making sure your city officials understand what's going on in the industry so that they can be knowledgeable about what they're talking with when they get citizen concerns. And so for the most part we've been able to deal with it, but there's some people some of the city officials that have led some of that transition in township officials in our area, I think could probably shed some light on that if other people had issues with that.
Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Who made the buns?
The buns were made by my mother, who has Wright County lady, and she's done catering for 30 years, and so she made the buns for the meat and cheese from Damer's.
Wow.
They were outstanding.
Yeah. All right.
Did everybody enjoy the sandwich that I come through?
Yes.
Yes. We grilled pork chops for me.
Yeah. I thought about grilling pork chops, but I didn't know how how receptive the weather was going to be when we originally scheduled this. And also the city of St. Paul sometimes with open flame, they're a little touchy. The pork producers have grilled pork chops on the Capitol lawn before, and so I've taken part in that and look forward to grilling some pork chops if we can get it by the city.
Very good. Anybody have any other questions? No? Okay, all right. Excellent presentation. Thank you very much, Representative Fitzsimmons. And just for those of you in the audience, this has been, we've been learning about each other's districts throughout Minnesota. So we've had wonderful presentations already. We're looking forward to future wonderful presentations. Not everyone brings food, but we have had a few people that have brought some items like that. And so this isn't typical necessarily of our meetings, but we do appreciate Representative Fitzsimmons coming through with the sandwich at this time, so thank you. But now we get to turn to Representative Hamilton, and we do have the map so people can see where his district is.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and just for the record, my mom made my buns too.
All right, so am I done now? Am I being escorted off? Am I being escorted off? I just knew I couldn't compete with that, so therefore, I'm sorry, Madam Chair. I mean the utmost respect, and yeah, just a little humor. What a way to start, right? So, District 22B, you know, and like I say in the opening comment, and I say this quite often, that never has there been more opportunity in agriculture as there is today. And through the presentation, I'm honored to serve District 22B. And so I try to encompass it about, it's not solely about production ag, that there's more to it. So that's what I'm trying to capture in my presentation. And to get us all fired up about this, I don't know if it's going to work, but we'll see if it's going to work. I wanted to just start off with this here a little bit.
When I'm up at 7, the sunrise gives me a glimpse of heaven. I get right to work, a farmer's like me, a little berserk, yeah. This is how I roll, I feed the cattle till their stomachs are full. Treat them right, that's my belief. What's for dinner? I say beef.
Gotta feed everybody. Gotta feed everybody. Gotta feed everybody.
I work out.
Side. Gotta feed everybody. Gotta feed everybody. Gotta feed everybody.
I work out.
Side. When I step to the bunk,
yeah,
this is what I see.
Uh-huh.
All the hungry cattle are staring at me. I got passion for my plants and I ain't afraid to show it. Show it, show it, show it.
I'm farming and I grow it. I'm farming and I grow it.
When I'm in my tractor, I got more power than an arc reactor. And when I'm in the field, I try to raise crops to maximum yield. This is how I roll, without me the world be out of control. The hours I work, there is no equal. Gotta feed the mouths of hungry people.
Gotta feed everybody. Gotta feed everybody. Gotta feed everybody.
I work out.
Side.
Gotta feed everybody. Gotta feed everybody. Gotta feed everybody.
I work out.
Side. When I step to the bunk,
yeah,
this is what I see.
Uh-huh.
All the hungry cattle are staring at me. I got passion for my plants and I ain't afraid to show it. Show it, show it, show it.
I'm farming and I grow it. I'm farming and I grow it.
Water, 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 yeah. Water, 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 yeah. Water, 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 yeah. Water, 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 yeah, yeah.
Cattle need water, man.
Crops need water, man.
We all need water, man.
I'm farming and I grow it.
Thank you.
Gotta feed everybody. Gotta feed everybody. Gotta feed everybody.
Uh-huh, I work outside.
Gotta feed everybody. Gotta feed everybody. Gotta feed everybody.
We work outside!
So, I'm farming and I grow it.
Have a little fun with this, you know. And that's where it's interesting, and I brought this up before. Here you have, those are three brothers. And the way I understand it, their 9-year-old sister or 10-year-old sister was videotaping them. And then this thing goes viral. And so 6-7 million hits. And that's where we in agriculture can do a much better job just telling our story. So I wanted to share that. You have the map in front of you. Like I said, I'm honored to represent District 22B. And so it's all of Cottonwood County, half of Jackson County through redistricting. It used to be of all of Jackson. All of Nobles County except for two townships, and then three townships up in Redwood County. On the cropping side, of course, mainly we'd have corn and soybeans. You can see the number of acres. Well, maybe you can't. It's awful small. 156,000 acres in Cottonwood County, 173,000 in Jackson, 181 in Nobles, and Redwood, 219,000 acres of soybeans. Average bushels are about 50 bushel per acre, 48 to 50 bushel per acre. Corn, 172,000 in Cottonwood, 196 in Jackson, 236 in Nobles, and 200,000 average bushels, right around 180. And I didn't see what your bushels were.
We had 173 for corn.
Yeah.
Before. I said, I called them. I said, Hamilton
yeah.
will say
yeah. No. Yeah. And then, of course, we do have some small grains around there and a few canning crops. If you get up in the northern tier, we do have some peas and sweet corn and also a few sugar beets. And I didn't know that we were growing sugar beets that far south. However, on the sugar beet, they are delivered up to Southern Minnesota beet sugar plant up in Renville. And the way I understand is that they will travel about 110-mile radius in order to get sugar beets for that plant. And so that would be up in Senator Coonan's area. And, then where the peas and sweet corn go is up in Del Monte plant in Sleepy Eye. That would be Representative Torkelson's district. And the other interesting thing that's popping up all over our district, and I singled out this one. There are more, and I wish I could cover all of them. But Judy Harder and her husband, they live right there in Mountain Lake, and they have Jubilee Fruits and Vegetables. And so they have a series of gardens and greenhouses, and you can buy shares within that the organization which they've developed. And they say our mission is to be caring for each other, growing creativity, and cultivating communities. And the Harders have been very, very active in the community, from planting trees all over Mountain Lake. And I served on the school board with Judy. Just wonderful, wonderful people. And I put their little webpage there in case you want to go in and see it. Just very nice. Looking at some numbers here that I was just pulling up, and, you know, hogs and pigs are probably the largest there. Cottonwood County has 230,000, Jackson 280,000, Nobles 420,000, Redwood 230,000, and then all cattle. The thing that I wanted to point out here, we have some great beef cattle operations around the area. We have some past presidents of the Cattlemen's Association, whether it's the Grafts or the Brakes down there. The thing that I wish we could focus more on, or we should focus more on, is dairy. You just take a look at the numbers of dairy cows. In Cottonwood County, there's only 1,200, you know. 500 Jackson, 1,900 in Nobles, 5,200 in Redwood. And we had the Dairy Day on the Hill, and it'd be nice to focus on that and understand it a little bit better and get more dairy cows here in Minnesota where they belong. Sheep and lamb, we do have some of that. You can see the numbers there, Cottonwood, Jackson, Nobles. And we're starting to see some growers get involved in what I would call some niche markets. I've been in direct conversations with like the Hmong community and others because they want a specific type of bird. And so we do have some growers out there that are beginning to raise specifically what those cultures are asking for. Some packers and processors located in our area. Swift would be the biggest down in the city of Worthington. They employ about 2,300 people. They process about 20,000 head a day of hogs down in Swift. PM, beef processing in Windham. There's 500 employees there. Beef cattle they run through there is about 5,500 per week. And they are the only beef processing plant in the nation that is SQF Level 3 certified, and that's a food safety certification process, and they're very proud about that. In the area, and why livestock is prevalent down there, this is actually in Torkelson's district, but it's close by. You have Tony Down Foods, who does the value added, if you will, on the processing side, canned, refrigerated, and frozen. You got Butterfield Foods, who processes a lot of the light hens around the area. We have a number of locker plants, local locker plants, that will custom process things as well. And you know what? Rendering is definitely a part of agriculture too. And the Worthington Rendering, mainly what they do is poultry products, but then they get the protein source, and a lot of that is used for a number of things. They said in the past it's been used everything from cosmetics to biofuels. And so I didn't want to forget about the rendering portion of agriculture as well, and they employ about 11 people down there around Worthington. Biofuels, the first one to pop up in the area was Ethanol 2000. It is now a POET plant located in Bingham Lake. 34 million gallons of ethanol, 12 million bushels of corn, produced 93,000 tons of DDGs, and they employ 42 people down there. Heron Lake Bioenergy is the newest one, 50 million gallons of ethanol, 18 million bushels of corn, 160,000 tons of DDGs, and about 40 employees on that one. And then we also have Minnesota Soybean Processors. There's about, I put down 2,300, but I talked to the group down there, and they said, Rod, there's about 2,400 farmer members. It's farmer-owned plant down there, about 80 employees. They have 34 million bushels of soybeans, which they purchase on an annual basis, and produce 34 million gallons of biodiesel a year down at that plant, and that's located in Brewster. And we used to joke quite a bit when Senator Magnus was a representative, because the way the district cut, Senator Magnus had the soybean plant in his district, and then the district that I serve, I had all their wastewater. So, you know, story of my life, right? Story of my life. So that's the biofuels. What's very interesting, what's fun to watch, is the bioscience piece, agriculture bioscience. Worthington has been huge as far as promoters and leaders in this area. Prairie Holdings Group, they have 240 people, and there's many spinoff companies from Prairie Holdings. They have Newport Labs. They do an endogenous vaccine down there. You also have Merck Animal Health, a lot of vaccinations that are vaccines that are produced. They have 100 employees down at Worthington. A new company down there is called Bioverse in the Bioscience Infrastructure Park, which many of us helped in order to get funding and stuff in order to develop the bioscience park down there in the city of Worthington. And they focus on water management and water quality and clarity. And they've seen in the last year 17% growth. So it's a very, very young company, and they're starting to grow that as well. And then Worthington got behind what is the Lab Tech and Training Center. And they're working with, starting with the Science Club. They're a bunch of eighth graders. And they work through the high school and then into the Minnesota West system about getting these children excited about this whole bioscience, agriculture bioscience, and to work into some of these local companies, like I said, whether it's Prairie Holdings or Merrick or others, to do that that lab tech, become lab technicians. So it was about the whole community getting behind this and promoting this. This is another exciting entity within our area. Agriculture manufacturers. This is a lot of fun. Balzer Manufacturing, located right there in Mountain Lake, employ about 60 or 70 people. I should know that. My wife works there, but she's a welder. No, I'm just teasing. Grain wagons. They produce these large grain wagons down there, manure tanks and shredders at Balzer Manufacturing. Mountain Power Hydraulics. That's located in Mountain Lake as well. And you can see the products that they do. Worthington Ag Parts has a large presence down there in the city of Worthington. Fast Sprayers, this is exciting. This is locally, private individuals that started building these farm sprayers. And just recently, it was in the newspaper here just this week, in the Windham newspaper, they have signed an agreement with John Deere. They're going to start producing, making sprayers in conjunction or with John Deere. And so they're going to move. They're located out on a farm, or out, you know, in a very rural setting, out on a farm. And they're building a huge manufacturing plant in the city of Windham. In the city of Windham. I might have misspoke and said Worthington, but in the city of Windham. And they're going to be hiring another 70 people and plus. And so that's very exciting for our area as well. We also have Toro in Windham. And that's manufacturing, as you can see, from garden tractors to lawnmowers, snowblowers, 600 people there, and AGCO. And this is another fun one, and Uncle Bob, or excuse me, Representative Gunther, he's my roommate too, so I call him Uncle Bob. He represents City of Jackson now, but I'm still claiming them. I love Jackson, and they're growing. It's unbelievable what they have going on down there. But AGCO, they produce the Massey Ferguson tractors and Challenger track tractors and Terragators and stuff like that. And the exciting part, Governor Dayton went down there to kick this off, is that they're manufacturing these high horsepower tractors over in France. And we actually were able to attract them back to the city of Jackson, and they're doing that now. And if we have time for just a couple more videos, is that okay, Madam Chair? How are we doing on time? Let's see if this works. And this one, I just wanted to, if I can get it, see if I can pull this one up here. I thought I had it real quick and real easy. I'm sorry. I think this one is it. Well, you know what? Shoot. What it was they went through and they did a video on their employees, and they're just talking about we are agriculture, we are innovative and everything else. And I apologize. I thought I had it quick and easy here. Just a very nice here. It's right here. Bear with me, please. Maybe not.
I might just think of it.
Well, all right. So that's where my limitations. But they put this center there as well, to where they can fly people all over the country, all over the United States, to come into the little town of Jackson, 4,000 people, and go through this and tour that whole area. It's absolutely remarkable what they're doing there. And, they're working with Minnesota West, the local college there, because they're short. We need welders. They're short on welders. They could hire 60 to 70 welders today if we had them. And so it's just fun seeing stuff like that, actually, the manufacturing actually coming back to our areas. And so that was a jobsy area. And a lot of this with the growth, and hats off to Senator Magnus, or Representative Magnus at the time, for carrying bills such as that, because it was bills like that, the Job Z program, and whether you argue whether it was perfect or not, but it was programs like that that allowed us to attract businesses to our area, whether it's the ethanol plants, whether it's, like I said, AGCO, and these other businesses, Mountain Power. There's a number of them that located here because of programs like Job Z. And what we are competing with, we're competing with South Dakota. And, they don't have any corporate income tax, any personal income tax. And so we have seen a lot of businesses move out to that area. And so we've had programs like that to help track them back, which is fun and exciting. Continue on through education or agriculture, ag education, the 4-H clubs, I'll get more into that, and FFA. Ag in the classroom is huge, ag extension. And FFA, I just want to give a shout out to Tom Apple. He's from Mountain Lake. He's in the FFA Hall of Fame. He taught my children. Tom's awesome. Awesome, awesome guy. He took my son went to state competing with FFA. My daughter was in as well. I mean, it was just, Tom's just a great guy, so a shout out to him. 4-H, what's really cool, they talk about learn by doing. And that's what the students were saying here before. You take a look at what 4-H has to offer, whether it's science and engineering, citizen and leadership, healthy living, animal science, it just goes on and on and on. It's not rocket science on why these students can come up here, and just be so good, so articulate on and conveying their message. They're extremely educated, and well-versed and well-articulate. I mean, it just goes right on down the line. And it's because of programs like 4-H and then jump right into FFA. You take a look at that. Learning to do, doing to learn, earning to live, living to serve. You know, this is the FFA program. It's not just about agriculture. And that's what they're trying to convey to all of us. You know, develops complete and assertive agriculture leadership. But it goes on. Increase awareness of the global and technological importance of agriculture. Strengthens the confidence of ag. Promotes the intelligent choice and establishes an agriculture careers. Encourages achievements. And, you know, it continues to go on. Encourage wise management of economic, environment, and human resources of the community. Develops interpersonal skills and teamwork. Builds character and promotes citizenship. Promotes cooperative attitudes, you know, among all people. It's so much more than just farming. Sows, plows, and cows. It's so much more than that. And, you know, so I was going to, well, I'll end with this. You know, everyone, and I mean everyone, depends on agriculture, right? It's a noble endeavor, and simply in 22B we rock, all right? That's all there is to it. I will, I'll leave you with this. It's just one more little fun thing, and it stems off from what the first one talked about. Just a different song in closing.
Working farmer style. Farmer style. We are the Peterson Farm Bros, and we're farming and we grow it. We love agriculture and we want the world to know it. Farming is a way of life with many different flavors, being stewards of the gifts God gave us. Out here on the farm,
we're running green John Deere tractors.
Out here on the farm,
we work in many weather factors.
Out here on the farm,
we're working hard to raise your food.
Out here on the farm,
on the family farm.
Agriculture is so important to me and should be to you.
Hey!
It means the world and will never ever cease to be. We need to aid. We all need farmers to provide us with the food. Working farmer style.
Farmer style.
Work, 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 work.
Working farmer style. Farmer style.
Work, 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 work.
Working farmer style.
Hey, for my cattle.
Work, 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 work.
Working farmer style.
Hey, from the field.
Work, 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 work.
Farmers are working harder than you might imagine. But that is just because we have a job that is our passion. We will work sun up to sundown time and time again, as if working for the Lord and not for men.
Out here on the farm,
we get away from lights of cities.
Out here on the farm,
the countryside is nice and pretty.
Out here on the farm,
we work together as a family.
Out here on the farm,
on the family farm.
Agriculture is so important to me and should be to you.
Hey!
In the world and will never ever cease to be. We need to aid. We all need farmers to provide us with the food. Working farmer style.
Farmer style.
Work, 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 work.
Working farmer style.
Farmer style.
Work, 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 work.
Working farmer style. Hey, for my cattle.
Work, 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 work.
Working farmer style.
Hey, from the field.
Work, 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 work.
Is what we feed our cattle so they grow big and strong and then become the food that keeps us living nice and long. Our crops like corn and wheat help make diets complete. Without the farmers working, we would all be starving.
You know what I'm saying? Working farmer style. Thank a farmer.
Work, 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 work.
Working farmer style. For your food.
Work, 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 work.
Work
working farmer style.
Madam Chair, I was going to dance right along with them.
I want to know if they do that after 12 hours.
Yeah, that's right. So, well, that's, you know, I knew I couldn't compete with the food, so I thought I'd put together a little fun music videos and whatnot. So, but, no, I mean, agriculture obviously is a huge part of District 22B, and I appreciate the opportunity to share it with you. So,
thank you very much, Benson. I very much appreciate everyone's willingness to do these presentations. I think we're all learning something new every time we hear one. So thank you so very much, everyone. And I think we have nothing else to do today, so meeting adjourned.